Good morning. Appreciate very much that song being switched. That's a great thought as we begin a new year. And as we think about that, I would draw your attention to a couple of cards before we start the lesson this morning. You may want to be turning in your Bibles to Philippians. That's where we're going to take our text from this morning. But a bunch of these cards were passed out. We weren't here last week, but did a sermon based on the idea of one word. So I've already had a bunch of these turned in, probably about 45 of them so far. And as we mentioned, these are one thing that you would like to grow in, that you would like to change or improve in spiritually in 2017. And we're going to post these on the back of the wall, not with your name on them. Turn them in anonymously, but it will allow us to know the kinds of things that people are wanting to grow in. So if you haven't turned one of those in, there's still a few more cards out on the table in the foyer. And if you don't find a card, just put it on a piece of paper. It'll work just as well. We're transferring them all and putting them up on the wall as we think about spiritual growth in 2017. And every one of these words will be ways in which we are seeking to better glorify God. That's obviously the goal in every aspect of spiritual growth. So we hope that you'll fill one of those out if you have not already, that we can put that up there. And then just quickly letting you know, there is a mark your calendar, remember the dates for January and February that's out on the table also. This is probably most beneficial to those who have been coming to the breakfast Bible study and the couple studies. That's mostly what is announced on here. Just gives you the dates in a card form so that you can stick that somewhere in your Bible or at home on your fridge, something to remind you of the dates. So you may want to pick one of those up off of that table as well. I want you to think for just a moment about something that you had decided to do, some kind of goal that you had set, some kind of aspiration that you had, something that you not only set the goal for it, but it was something that you committed to. You mapped yourself out a plan. It was something that was in your heart, something that you desired, and something that you brought to completion. Something that you actually set out to do and that you actually accomplished. And the feeling that goes along with that, the joy that's associated with that, the excitement that you have and the satisfaction that comes from knowing that you've done that. It could be physical things. Maybe you set some kind of health goal for yourself regarding what you were trying to do with your diet or what you were trying to accomplish with different numbers that the doctors are checking and bringing cholesterol into balance or something else in your life. Maybe it was some kind of project that you just really wanted to do and you set your mind to it, you committed, you did it, and you were able to step back and realize I brought it all the way to completion. Maybe it's an educational goal. Something that you wanted to learn, classes that you wanted to take, a degree that you wanted to achieve, whatever else it is. But something that allows you to know, I've accomplished that goal. And not so that I could tell others. It's not the kind of thing so that you can say, look what I did. But just the satisfaction of knowing that you had determined to do something and that you had actually done that. We're going to talk a little bit out of the book of Philippians this morning about that concept as it's going to apply to spiritual goals. All of those things that will be showing up on that back wall up there as far as the words that we want to work on. What is it that we're trying to accomplish and how is it that we're going to be able to accomplish that? A doctor at Cornell University had an interesting quote, I thought, regarding the idea of that. Dr. Eric Kiev said, the moment people decided to concentrate all their energies on a specific objective, they began to surmount the most difficult odds. Then he concluded saying, the establishment of a goal is the key to successful living. I think that's not original with him, obviously. That's been an idea that has existed for a long time. That's an idea that is, I think, very biblical, and I think it is addressed in Philippians chapter 3. As Paul is going to talk about those very kinds of things, especially in his own life. I want you to look with me starting in verse 12 of Philippians 3. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, has also laid hold of me. Kind of in the abstract here, but Paul says he's striving for a goal. Paul says it's a goal I haven't attained yet, haven't completed it, haven't reached whatever it is that he's striving for. And he says, this is not just a goal that I have for myself, but he says, this is also a goal that God had called him to. He says, this is what God wants for me. This is what God would have me to understand my life is about. As Tyler mentioned, the making a decision on what are the important things. We all know what our schedules are like. 2016 probably wasn't much different than a lot of the other previous years. I think I may have mentioned before a little book that was published years ago called The Tyranny of the Urgent. Did it ever bite you this year? Or last year in 2016? It did me. There were times that the urgent was pressing and pushing hard against me. And so you satisfied something that was urgent, but maybe sometimes to the sacrifice of the things that were actually more important than the thing that was urgent. There is nothing more important than glorifying God in our lives. And Paul's going to say God has a goal for him. And he says, I'm striving for that goal. And I think he's going to help us to understand how it is that we're going to achieve that. So what about for us? What was God's goal for Paul? What's God's goal for us? I mean, he certainly has eternity as a goal for us. He wants us to be able to come home and to spend an eternity with him. There's no question about that. Jesus very specifically told the disciples that he was with. He says, I'm going back, but I'll come again. He says, I'm going back for a reason. I'm going back to make preparations for you to come home. That is a goal God has for us. Eternity is a goal. But I think there's more than just eternity. If God's only goal for us was eternity, he could accomplish that goal instantaneously for any of us, could he not? But he allows us to live. We've just seen another year pass by. What did he hope that we would have done with the year he just gave us? What does he hope that we will do with the year that he might give us yet? If we see all of 2017 come to fruition. What is God's goal for us? There certainly is eternity. But I think God wants us to have something that is here. Something that is a goal that will not only help me achieve eternity, but will have an influence on the others around me, because he says we are the people we are, Peter says. That this very special group of people, this chosen group of God, that this priesthood of believers that we are, this kingdom that we're a part of. He says all those things that we are, all those special things, he says are for a purpose. That we may proclaim the praises of him. That's the goal in all of that. And so each day that he gives me life, he doesn't just give me life so that I can someday have eternity. He wants me to be growing. Because my growth not only helps me, it helps those that are around me. And so I think the goal is to be like Christ. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he talked about giving the church some wonderful gifts. He said those gifts were apostles and prophets and teachers and preachers. And, I mean, those were great gifts to the church that God gave that would help to instruct them and teach them. And he said the role of all those ones that he gave to the church, he said, was for the purpose of helping the church understand what it was supposed to be doing. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. That's us, all of us. For the building up of the body. He says, in love. But he says, and then there was a goal in all of that. You remember what he said? He said, until we reach the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. God wants me to be like Christ. So when you just start there, I'm just saying, what a goal. What a goal. How far out in front of me is that when you look at that goal? How close do you feel that you are to having achieved that goal? I mean, I don't think it matters at what point we are in life, we'd understand there's still a pretty big gulf between where I am and where Christ was. I have a lot of things I can still grow in, a lot of things I need to be improving in my life, and things I need to be doing and thought processes that need to be changing. It's a big goal, and I think it was for Paul too. Paul's saying, I've not attained all that God wants me to attain here. But that's the goal, to be like Jesus Christ. So how is it that we're going to achieve the goal? How is it that I'm going to grow more like Christ so that I am striving to attain what Paul is striving to attain, so that I'm striving to attain the fullness of the stature of Christ? How is it I'm going to do that? Whatever word it is that I've chosen, or whatever word you've chosen to have put up on that wall, your one word for 2017, how are you going to do that? You remember the goal of that was to say, let's don't set a whole list of New Year's resolutions because of how easily they're broken. Let's pick one word. Let's pick one thing that we want to focus on. And I think in Philippians, Paul helps us to understand that's a very God-based and God-driven method. And so we're going to look at a word, focus, this morning. Each of those standing for one of the things that we want to talk about. Each one of those letters. I know you realize that means that's a 5-point lesson instead of a 3-point lesson, but they're short points. Focus. What is it we're going to do? I would tell you first, Paul would help us to understand that we need to fix our thoughts and our actions on God. Understand, know what the goal is. Know what it is that you're trying to achieve. Paul certainly understood exactly what he was trying to achieve. And what we're going to do is understand that this is going to happen in a matter of a single word at a time or a single step at a time. Eric Severide, you may have heard of him. Most of the older ones probably certainly have, but a news broadcaster for a long time. He wrote on one occasion, he said, the best life principle that he ever learned was the principle of the next mile. And here's what he wrote. He says, during World War II, I and several others had to parachute from a crippled army transport plane into the mountainous jungle on the Burma-India border. It was several weeks before an armed relief expedition could reach us. And then we began a painful, plodding march out to civilized India. We were faced by a 140-mile trek over mountains in the August heat and the monsoon rains. In the first hour of the march, I rammed a boot nail deep into one foot. By evening, I had bleeding blisters the size of 50-cent pieces on both feet. Could I possibly hobble 140 miles? Could others, some in worse shape than I, complete such a distance? We were convinced that we could not. But we could hobble to that ridge, he said. We could hobble to the next friendly village for the night. And that, of course, was all we had to do. And that was how they made it out of that jungle. And if I'm going to grow to be like Christ, it's going to be in that same fashion. Individually or collectively, this church. If we're going to become what God wants us to become, all that we can become as His congregation of people in this community, if I'm going to become or you're going to become all that He hopes that I will become as an individual in this life, it's going to have to happen one step at a time, he says. We're going to have to move along slowly. He says, focus your attention on the matter at hand. And so Paul says, starting in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Paul says, fix your thought and actions. I've got one thing I need to do. I have to do this one thing first. Focus is absolutely critical. In Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus endured the cross. Some around him didn't do so well. They fled. They left him alone. I think a great reason for that was the difference in how focused they were. Jesus had spent the night in the garden in prayer and had told his disciples to do the same, but they had failed to do so. And when the temptation came and when the trial came, they fled. He remained committed. And Hebrews tells us it's because he had this incredible vision to stay focused. And it says, because of the glory that was beyond the cross. That's what enabled him to endure. Never lost sight of that. That becomes absolutely critical. On July 4th, 1952, a lady by the name of Florence Chadwick attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. That wasn't going to be really a new thing for her, distance swimming. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel. And so she started swimming from Catalina to the coast, and a fog set in. She swam for 15 hours in the fog. Multiple occasions, they had to drive sharks away from her with rifles shooting at them in the water. She finally, after 15 hours, gave up and asked to be taken into the boat. Those that were managing with her told her they were close to land. She needed to please hold on. She said she could not hold on. She couldn't go any longer. They pulled her into the boat. They were 1 mile from land after she had swam for 15 hours. She was asked about it. She said, "I couldn't see anything but the fog. I just gave up. Maybe if I could have seen land, I would have continued." 2 months later, she attempted it again on a clearer day, and she completed it in record speed. How easy it is to lose sight of where I'm going. Sometimes we're so close to the goal, and yet we may lose sight of that. He says, I'm pressing on. I've got one thing. The goal is there, and I've got to keep pushing one stride at a time so that I might be able to make that. A name you may remember, or some may remember, Eamon Coughlin. He was a distance runner. World record holder in the 1,500 meters. In 1987, he was running in the World Indoor Track Championships. After 2.5 laps, he got tripped. He got up and tried to press on. This was in one of the qualifying heats. He knew he just needed to at least finish third. He finally pulled himself into third place as they were approaching the finish line. And he turned around over his left shoulder to glance to see if anybody was coming up behind him. He saw no one, so he eased back because he was in pain. As he eased back, somebody came up on the outside, passed him. He didn't qualify for the finals. Don't rest on your achievements where you are. You may be close to the goal. I think God is saying, press on. Paul says, you know what? I'm not there yet, but I can't get comfortable, and I can't just sit back. I can't rest. I have to keep going on this life. Build on those previous achievements. Don't rest on them. Secondly, observe the example of successful people. Look what Paul says in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. God says, you want to accomplish a goal? Hang with the right people. That's what he says. Hang with the right people. Find successful people. Find somebody that has achieved spiritually what you would like to achieve. That's who you spend your time with. That helps with the success. Make sure that I'm not around those who are not striving to become better, but make sure that you're learning from those that are successful in what they are doing. Love what Mark Twain said, because he said, it's not always easy to be around people who are striving to be good. He said, few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example. That's true sometimes. It's just, it's easier to be around people that aren't achieving so much sometimes because we might feel a little bit better. But find the spiritual people around you. Paul said that on other occasions as well, saying things like, you know, be imitators of me as I'm an imitator of Christ. Find those who are headed the right direction. He says, act like those people. You want to make improvement? Find somebody that is doing better than you and learn from them in whatever area it may be. He says, make sure you're observing other people and following their examples. Thirdly, he says, consider the outcome of unfocused people. Because not many are that way, he says, or a lot aren't that way. Verse 18, he says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He said, I'm telling you, not everybody around you is going to be spiritually focused. It doesn't have to be awful things. They're just setting their mind on earthly things. And he says, but that's not where we belong. He goes on to say, our citizenship isn't here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Set your mind on those things. He says, but not everybody around you. And pay attention to what's happening. He says, they're destroying themselves. Look at them. Look at what they are doing. We have a hard time learning that. A lot of times we do. God's people have always had difficulty learning that if we follow the people around us, we're going to end up with the same result that they end up with. Ken pointed that out in class this morning. Israel says, we want a king. Well, how's that working for everybody that's got a king? That should have helped them. Wasn't working so good for those that had kings. Sometimes we're striving for the wrong things. He says, pay attention to those that are not so focused. Not everybody focuses on the things that are right. Sometimes we're in default mode. We lose that focus and we're controlled by the circumstances and the people around us rather than being proactive and continuing to press on to that goal. Let me give you one other example. Flight 401 was a flight from New York City to Miami, loaded with holiday passengers. As they were approaching Miami and went to put the landing gear down, the light that indicates if the landing gear has deployed properly did not come on. So now they had a dilemma. They didn't know if that was a problem with the light or the sensor or if it was actually indicating that the landing gear had not properly deployed. So the engineer in the plane, the one who at least had that task first, was trying to jiggle the light bulb. And he was trying to get the light bulb out. They were going to actually replace the light bulb, see if a different bulb would come on. And he kept fooling with that, but he couldn't get it out. So one of the other guys came over and helped him, and they're trying to help him get it out. And then another one came over, and they're trying to help him get it out. They could not get the light bulb to come out. And before long, every one of that crew was trying to get the light bulb out. A 75-cent light bulb. And the whole time they were doing that, the plane was making a large circle around the Everglades, and it was losing altitude the entire time. And they fiddled with a 75-cent light bulb so long that the plane crashed into the Everglades. You remember that? Lives were lost. One guy who wrote about that afterwards, I thought probably had one of the best commentaries. He said, They forgot one of the greatest lessons and one of the greatest things they needed to know in a situation like that. Don't forget to fly the plane. They'd stopped flying. They lost their focus. They weren't paying attention. The plane crashes. In verse 20 and 21, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He says, utilize the power of God. Now he says, we're waiting for Christ to come and to transform this body that is just with each passing year. It's a great benefit to say another year went by. 2017 has come upon us. But I can tell you, as you're 62 as opposed to 25, each time that happens, you can feel it. You're not just aware of it here. You can just bend certain ways, and that, man, a year has gone by. There's no question about that. This body is decaying. It's breaking down, and it's only going to get worse until, if the Lord doesn't come, it's going to fail completely at some point, for sure. And he says, but he's coming to change us. But he's not saying, Paul's not saying, you know what, so therefore just sit back and wait for that to happen. This isn't a passive waiting. The same power that's going to change this corrupt body into an incorruptible body at some point, the same power that's going to do that is the power that I have to change this life that I have now. And that's what he says. In Ephesians, when he's saying, according to that power that works in us, that's how we're going to do these things. Or back in Isaiah, when he said, he talked about waiting on the Lord. Remember what he said? Those who wait on the Lord? He's not talking about just sitting around doing nothing. He's talking about those that trust in him. Those who have given their life to him. Those who are eager for him to come. Those who have given themselves over to God. Those who wait on the Lord, he says, are going to mount up with wings like eagles. He says they'll run and not be tired. They'll walk and they'll not faint. He says the strength that we need comes from God. He says utilize that power. That's what Paul is saying. And then finally, he says stand firm in your commitment. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. He said, I'm telling you, whatever you put up there, I can guarantee you this, whatever your word is that's going to be up on that wall, there will be times during the year that you're tempted not to press forward so hard on that word. That's just the way it works. You set a goal for yourself. There will come times when Satan will kind of slide something in, make it a little bit more difficult for you to do. There are going to be times when you're tempted to give up. Don't. Stand firm. Decide, I'm going to work on that this entire year. I am going to grow in that this year. And if you do, did we not already hear, as Tyler was leading us and singing, did we not already hear one of the statements that is absolutely the truest? 2017 will be better than 2016. It doesn't matter how good 2016 was. If you grow in 2017, it will be better than 2016. That's just the nature of growth. May we grow in the Lord. Can't earn what God has offered me by way of reward. But how foolish it would be to think that I don't have a part in it. I do have a part in it. And he wants me to grow. He wants me to become more Christ-like. And if he's going to change me, he has to have my total commitment, my total willingness to do so. That's just the way that it works. He says, I'll work through you, but you have to be willing and committed to allow me to do so. So whatever your one word is, Paul says, focus. That's the way to the goal. Focus. Get your thoughts right so that you can plan right, so that you can live right. You're not a Christian. There is nothing more important in this life than to be a child of God. If we can help you take care of that, we sure hope you'll let us know this morning. If you don't know how, you don't know what that means, talk to us. We'd love to share that with you. For those of us that are Christians, especially all of us who have already written and turned in a word, we've already committed to something for 2017. May we stand true to our commitment so that the Lord may be glorified by our growth in our relationship with him. If we can help you, let us know as we stand, as we sing.